know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Amen. Thank you, Mal. Thank you very much indeed. Let's pray. Generous God, the Bible is your gift to us. Your word is daily bread for us. Your word is living and active. Your word sings out your everlasting love. Your word is a light to our path. May we now reflect on your word and your ways, and may we then walk in them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we launched our text card for the year. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And one of the things that we have committed ourselves to as a church during a 12-month period that I suppose began back in September, one of the things we've committed ourselves to is more communal prayer together during this 12-month period, as we really seek God's heart, God's purpose for the cornerstone. So I'm pleased to say on Tuesday night at the church meeting, we will announce further opportunities in different ways for people to come together and to pray. But on Sundays, I want to do something a little different. I want to look at prayer in the Old and the New Testament. And I want to ask you to go on a journey with me, to be honest with me, and I'll be honest with you, and ask questions about our own personal prayer life. What are we like in prayer with God when no one else is around? I believe if we bring those two things together, I believe if we all commit more strongly to our own personal prayer walk, to learn about prayer, to think about it more deeply, allied to greater opportunities to come together to prayer, then we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. A few things about prayer. Today is really just an introduction. We'll be beginning proper, as it were, next week with Moses' prayer. And by way of a slight diversion, the prayer titles that I'll be following are taken from Lynn Babb's Scripture Union book on prayers of the Old Testament and prayers of the New Testament. I'm not going to be preaching on the content of this, but it did occur to me that house groups leaders, if you're ever short for material during this next period, that because I'm following the reading headers, what she then does is give you a little reflection and then a whole series of questions to think about. You might want to get these personally, even, to see whether it would help you think through the question, what is my prayer life like with God? So just a thought, a way of following it through during the week. I don't know if you know, but most people pray. A recent survey even found that committed atheists, 15 to 20% of them admit to praying. Did you know that? People, it seems, have prayed in some form or another since the beginning of time. There is something within us which seems to want to call out to that which is outside us, to that which made us, to that which we belong. And it seems to be very, very natural within us as human beings. So if you cared to study religions of the world, cultures of the world, you would see forms of prayer offered in all sorts of ways that have been embedded in cultures for generation after generation after generation. So prayer seems to be something that we do naturally. We call out to the other. But Christians claim something unique about prayer. And I've put up there, not because of us. In other words, I'm not sat here this morning claiming something unique about prayer because of me. I'm claiming Christians believe there's something unique about prayer because of what Christ has done. When Christ was ascended, his ministry of mediation in God's dimension, heaven, began for his church, for his kingdom on this world. Christ is our mediator. Through him, we pray. That is the uniqueness of the Christian understanding of prayer. Paul seems to have a real grasp of this. He seems to understand that this prayer thing is very powerful. Just look at the words he uses. Incomparably great power for those who believe. Do you see what he says about prayer? It's quite extraordinary. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. The power of Christ's mediation in heaven, the power of prayer, is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Isn't that extraordinary? Now that should tell you and me that we just might be missing out on something here. It should tell you and me that there might be a greater power, a greater purpose for our lives than we often understand. If you get hold of lots of books on prayer, you'll discover suddenly that they've gone in one or two directions. And it's really sad, you know, because great Christian writers of past decades and centuries didn't have this understanding at all. What's happened today, sadly, is that lots of people who write on prayer have gone in either one direction or the other. So you'll get people who write on prayer who say it's all about communion, the closeness of your personal relationship with God. It's all about meditation, contemplation, and having a deeper relationship with God. But sadly, you'll get other books that say it's all about just seeking of God, asking of God, asking God to do things, bringing his kingdom in powerfully. The truth of the matter is, it's such a shame the books on prayer have gone in this split direction, because both truths belong together. And I've just given you one example from the wonderful book of Psalms. Look at the first psalm there, 63, verses 3 to 4. This is about communion and closeness. When the psalmist says this, he has a deep sense of the eminence of God. So he says, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands." This is the psalmist communing with God. This is the psalmist feeling really close to God. But he can do the other, you know. Look at what he says in Psalm 10. "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in time of trouble?" The beauty of the Psalms is that they bring both of these things together, communion and kingdom, closeness with God, and seeking God's kingdom, asking God to act in our world. What I hope we will do in this series is manage to keep those two things together, to deepen a personal walk of prayer with God that also understands our need to call out to God in all sorts of ways, asking him to act. What I really hope will happen for me and for you is that we will move from thinking of prayer as duty to thinking of it as delight. From duty to delight. If that happened for just a handful of people here during these coming weeks and months, that would be a wonderful thing. Even if just a handful of people deepened their personal prayer walk with God, spent time thinking about it. Let me say this, prayer is powerful, but nothing great is ever easy. If you read some of the great writers on prayer, they are really honest with you. Their prayer life never went like that. The honest ones will tell you that it often went like that. Moments of struggle to pray. Anybody here struggle when you sit down to pray and you lose concentration immediately? You start thinking about, oh, there's that letter over there I've got to write. The great writers on prayer will be honest and admit this stuff is not easy, but it is powerful. And nothing great is ever easy. You can see what Paul believes about prayer in the words I've put in red. I love the way he prays for these people at Ephesus in the church there. He prays that they'll have wisdom and revelation, understanding. He prays that they'll know God better. That they may know hope in their lives. Boy, do we need that in people's lives today. He reminds them with that phrase, glorious inheritance, that they're just joining millions of people in past ages, millions of people to come who will offer prayers to God in heaven. And there, that reminder, incomparably great power. The same power of prayer that raised Christ from the dead. Now, lest you think that I'm sat here able to speak to you deeply on this matter, I've put up there this fantastic writer from the 17th century, Christian theologian John Owen, who manages to put every minister and pastor, every leader in their place with this incredible, wonderful phrase. Forgive the gender reference, forgive the difference in time and his words, but what he says is powerful. A minister may fill his pews, full church, his communion role, members. The mouths of the public may listen to his words, he's saying. But what that minister is on his knees in secret before God Almighty, that he is and no more. Isn't that a really powerful thought? For those of us in full-time ministry, for those of you who are looking to see what your future ministry is, it's a really powerful thought to hold on to. Do you know, I know at least Graham is a great lover of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Do you know, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great writer and preacher, never wrote a book on prayer because he felt too humble to write a book on prayer. Prayer is powerful, but nothing great is ever easy. Sorry, Jackie, thank you. You could ask the question as we start this series, why on earth do we need to look at prayer through the Bible, through the prayers in the Bible? Why doesn't Trevor just get some great books together? Why don't we look at it in that way? Why Scripture? It's a quote from Timothy Keller. The Bible is all about God, and that is why the practice of prayer is so pervasive throughout its pages. The greatness of prayer is nothing but an extension of the greatness and glory of God in our lives. In other words, he's saying the Bible is all about God's story and how and where we join it. And prayer is a language that we learn from Scripture. I'm going to try and explain this to you. Thanks, Jackie. You'll see this picture many times throughout this series. The small childlike hands and the larger adult hands. Just for once, I want us all to think of ourselves as the small childlike hands. And God's hands are the bigger hands. Anybody here think they know, because they were told, what was the first thing you said? Anybody know what the first word you spoke was? Anybody been told by your parents or anything like that? Isn't it funny? We speak to newborns and we say words to them, and some parents try to get them to say, dad, 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 and they end up saying dog, 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 dog. We think we learn the language to speak, and suddenly one day we think we act and we speak. Do you know, it doesn't work like that at all. We speak because we're spoken into. Lots of research now shows that if young children and toddlers are around people who use a huge range of vocabulary, huge range of English language, or whatever language it is, their own vocabulary will be much, much wider. We don't learn to speak. We speak because we've been spoken into. Why learn about prayer from the Bible? It is God's language. It is God speaking into us. And we can then pray in that very language of God. It is like learning a language like no other. And the prayers across the Old Testament and New Testament are extraordinarily varied, but wonderful. Like learning a language like no other. So will you go on a journey with me? Will you go on a journey with me in the coming weeks and months? And will you reflect on what you're like before God when there's no one else around? What does your prayer life look like? And will you ask God to inspire you, to be encouraged to think about what it's like to get closer to God in your own personal prayer life? The best way of doing it is to hold on to this very image. The childlike hands cupped in the hands of God. That's what we want to do. We want to learn together from God. Amen. One of the most extraordinary things to reflect on is that even though as Christians we know and understand that Jesus is God's Son, God's Messiah, one of the really interesting things is that during Christ's ministry on earth, he felt a passionate need to stay in touch with his Heavenly Father with prayer. Now, if that is true for Jesus, how much more true should that be for us? And so we're going to sing the song which speaks of Christ, as it were, acting through prayer. We're going to sing the song With a Prayer, Love Incarnate. And if you're able, please stand to sing. And would those serving communion kindly come forward at the end of this song to join me at the table?